And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe, and we're honored to have joining us once again, in person and very much in his wheelhouse, with a review of Immaculate, our own resident film guru, Professor Film Encyclopedia Brown.
Well, hello out there.
And back with us once again, we're most joyed to have with us our world-traveling Sherlockian and great reviewer, with a preview of what some would call the best film fest in the Midwest. We're joined by the marvelous Monica Schmidt.
Right before I'm about to leave once again.
That's right. Film, kick it off with Immaculate.
Oh, Immaculate. A film, again, I always say this. I go into films with trepidation. What am I going to see here? And I was quite pleased with what I saw here. Immaculate, directed by Michael Moen and written by Andrew Lobel, takes on a well-established sort of subgenre of a religious film or of a horror film, depending on the direction in which you take the nunsploitation route, okay? And the nunsploitation world sort of breaks down into a number of different subcategories. You have those, the devout nun who serves the public and so on, like the Bells of St. Mary comes to mind very quickly.
Yes.
Or Sound of Music, you know, where you take the novice nun who hasn't maybe taken her vows and is put out to work in certain places.
Change of habit.
Right. And yes. Testing out whether they want to become a nun or not. Like Flying Nun. I mean, you got all kinds of different nun incarnations. Sister Act. I mean, I got a big list here. I don't want to go through them all.
Black Orpheus, I think.
Yes, Black Orpheus. You mean Black Narcissus.
Oh, Black Narcissus, yes, thank you.
Black Narcissus takes us into the darker side, which is another angle.
See, I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah, Black Narcissus, a great film that takes us that way. The Devils, which really kicks us into the darker side. The world of the nun as the repressed world, serving the community inside, but at the same time, it is a place of repression, which creates distortions within the behaviors of the nuns and their relationships with the priesthood and how much they isolate themselves from the world. Whereas you say the Bells of St. Mary, I'll come back to that. The whole idea is to build the church, right? To save the church for the community and things like that. Probably our most extreme versions of nunsploitation is the Italian and Spanish takes on those things. Because they really, particularly Spain, had a great take on the oppression of the Catholic Church at that time. Or Viridiana, which is, with a great Bunuel take. Well, we're going on and on about, let's talk about this this film. Here we have a novice nun who is brought into what seems like a perfect Italian community, a convent, and her role is, and what the role of the young nuns that are brought in is to serve these terminally ill nuns who are on their last days. Now, I'm not going to go too far into that because you'll figure out why they are terminally ill as the film progresses. Now, Cecilia, when she was young, she fell through some ice and she was declared, her heart stopped for like 7 or 8 minutes. And she felt like when she came out that she was saved by God and therefore she was destined to become a nun. And of course, what happens is that the patriarchy, the priesthood of the of this order, has been selecting certain women who have they think has been called and also virginal, to work with these terminally ill patients. As it turns out, they have a relic of a spike from Jesus's hands that they have had in their keeping, right? Because a lot of these old convents, right, have sort of reliquaries of types. And they have, I'm not going to blow it too much, but they have been able to clone off of that spike the ability to create immaculate conceptions.
Whoa.
And that's where the immaculate comes from. Cecilia is a really interesting character as she interacts with the other nuns and with the power systems. The power systems very much are forcing her to have this child against her will. It sort of fits in with some of our contemporary situations. It really also ties in, I haven't seen it yet, First Omen also deals with that idea of a young nun who is forced to carry a child forward. It reminds me, as I'm watching it, of Rosemary's Baby set in a convent with cloning thrown into it.
Interesting.
Right. Rather than a actual insemination like we have in Rosemary's Baby, here we have a cloning experience. And a number of other people, other nuns, have been assayed to see if that works. But it works with Cecilia, see? So she's sort of the darling child. But she doesn't want to, things don't seem to be working well with her. I think Sydney Sweeney, who plays Cecilia, does a fantastic job in this, in the transformation from the naive, hopeful nun into the, well, what the world forces upon her and what it forces her to do. Some really gory, bloody, brutal film as well, so I warn you of that. It there's a great, the ending of this film is really powerful. If you've seen, for instance, Pearl, you remember the ending of Pearl, that extended long take of that weird smile she does that starts off rather genuinely and then turns into maniacalness. This one here has a long take of the birth of the child, all from her perspective of her voice. Very interesting, very powerful, really hits you really hard. I thought the film was successful, and I suggest taking a look at it. Unpack the nuns in film from your experience and watch it through that lens, and watch it through the lens of what this film really has to say to us.
All right. Thank you very much. Monica, you're just about to jet off. You're about to head to Ebertfest.
Yes. Champaign, Illinois, for 4 to 5 days a year happens to be my my home. Roger Ebert, son of Urbana, you know, in our neighboring state of Illinois, you know, the late, great Roger Ebert, 25 years ago decided to throw a birthday party for HAL 9000 from,
2001.
Exactly, from 2001. And, you know, it was a really good time. He threw this birthday party and did a screening of 2001 at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, Illinois, which is this really beautiful kind of theater, very similar in structure kind of to the Paramount in here in Cedar Rapids. And they had so much fun that he decided to create his own film festival, originally titled Roger Ebert's Overlooked Film Festival, and over the years has evolved into Ebertfest. This is a used to be 5 day, now 4 day film festival, usually 12 to 13 films, where it is a single screen film festival. So everybody who has a pass can see every single film all on one screen. So this is different than something like the much bigger film festivals like Minneapolis, Champaign, or Minneapolis, Chicago, you know, Sundance, where there's multiple screens, multiple tracks, all things going on simultaneously. This is one single screen, one single track of movies. Everybody sees pretty much everything unless you choose to opt out. Every film is followed by Q&A afterwards. And because it's Roger Ebert, and even though Roger's been gone since 2013, you know, his name is still powerful and brings in a lot of guest stars. And so this year is the 25th anniversary of Ebertfest, and we have one heck of a schedule ahead of us. For opening night is Bob Fosse's film from 1983, Star 80.
Oh,
but
wow.
We're bringing in Eric Roberts and Muriel Hemingway for the Q&A afterwards. So I am like really hyper pumped about this because this is the last film directed by Bob Fosse. You know, it's always an interesting film. Sometimes the movies that Ebertfest screens are films that Roger felt were either great or overlooked or at least unique and interesting, and always conversation starters. And so, you know, even if this seems like an unusual choice to kind of open for a film festival, at least it's going to be a unique and interesting experience. The cool thing about Ebertfest is that, you know, it's about genre, and it's about a celebration of film. And so every year, there's always a silent film. This year is Alfred Hitchcock's Blackmail. There's always a movie that's focused on music. And here, there are several. There's a film called Stony Island, which deals with Chicago jazz. There's also the documentary feature, Little Richard, I Am Everything, which I'm really, really pumped about. Also Roger Ebert, who actually did marry an African-American woman, Chaz Ebert, is absolutely beautiful, phenomenal force of a human being. She's truly wonderful and amazing. He's always been a huge champion of African-American cinema. Friday night's feature film, The Best Man, from 1999, was directed by Spike Lee's cousin, Malcolm Lee. And that's basically like the tentpole film for this year. Mm. Hyper excited to see the movies. It's always interesting. You know, even if I don't love the films, I at least learn something new and interesting and exciting about them and gain a new appreciation for them. Last year, Forrest Gump, which I'm not going to lie, I don't really like Forrest Gump, was the, kind of the tentpole film. But after watching the film and then listening to the Q&A afterwards, I at least understood and appreciated why this film is special. Even if I don't like it, I can appreciate it on a much deeper level. I'm so pumped. It's the 4 days a year I'm absolutely guaranteed to spend in one place with my husband sitting next to me, just because with all the traveling that I do, it's nice to be able to kind of sit down in one place and watch the films. This year I'm extra pumped though, because there are two incredible performances by Jim Carrey that are going to be featured. They're doing a screening of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on Friday. And then on Saturday, the final film of the festival is Man on the Moon. And the screenwriter and producers are going to be present for the Q&A afterwards. And, I have to admit, if one is going to feature two Jim Carrey films in a single film festival, these would be the two to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm hyper pumped. It's usually mid-April in Champaign, Illinois. I highly recommend the festival if anybody is interested in attending. It's ebertfest.com. I'll see y'all at the movies.
All right. Thank you much. Folks, we want to know what you're watching. Tell us what you're giving thumbs up or thumbs down. Our email address is talkingpics@kcck.org.